96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday the 10th of June and you're on the clock with Erin Green. We are 1 month away from the celebration of independence, 51st anniversary, and I would like to say that we still haven't had a public statement as to the expenditure and the full cost of the independence celebrations. This to me is very concerning. But let's get to some housekeeping before we start the show. I want to send a happy, happy, happy belated birthday to my cousin. And I have someone joining me in studio this morning. If I don't hear a goat soon though, I'm gonna have to kick him out of the studio because I charged him with finding me either a billy goat or a curry goat.
If you look at my pictures, I have the goat. I brought the goat to the airport, and they tell me I couldn't put it on the plane. So I have, if you go there, the goat is tied onto the gate.
At the airport?
Right under the consular's sign. So consular's parking only.
That's where the goat is. Good.
The goat's parked.
Keep it right there.
It's tie up right there.
Yeah, keep it right there.
But I'm learning that loose goat don't know how tied goat feels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Welcome back.
Thanks very much, man.
Let's say happy belated birthday to our cousin, Tira Hannah Sweeting.
Happy birthday, Tira.
Chairperson of the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association. I'd also like to say thank you
to... She's 46 now, right?
I mean, or 35.
Thereabout.
46 or 35. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the supporters of the Hannah Hasty Tynes family, all the people who came out to the jumble sale this Saturday.
How did that go? That was successful?
It was, yeah, we had a good time. We had a good time and we had good sales. The rain then came and attempted to wash us away, but a good time was had by all. I want to say good morning to Mr. Joe Knowles. I call him Uncle Joe. Thank you for the mangoes. I shared them, and I told everybody who got a mango, make sure save the seed so that we could plant more lemon meringue mango trees around the place. Thank you so much, Uncle Joe. There's lots to talk about in the news today. I mean, lots to talk about in the news today. The Davis administration held a press briefing this morning. The theme, new and comprehensive energy reforms across the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Because I was on my way to work, I could not listen in, but I do have a note that was published by Mr. Latrey Ramming, the Director of Communications in the OPM. And it reads, finally, nationwide comprehensive energy reform is happening in the Bahamas. For too long, high electricity prices and unreliable power have burdened families and businesses, holding our country back. Our outdated energy infrastructure with transformers and substations over 50 years old relies on heavy and diesel fuels, lacking capacity for clean energy like solar and resilience against hurricanes. Prime Minister LP government, I just want to rephrase that. Prime Minister Davis and the Davis administration, PLP don't have no government. I just, because they can't afford one. Mm. Surely. I mean, that's all I have to say. PLP can't afford no government.
I know what you, in your semantics. Go
ahead. They couldn't afford a trip to Bermuda. You think they could afford a government?
Did they actually paid finish paying for that?
We don't know. Do we know? Do we know if the second part of the payment was delivered? We don't know.
We have no clue.
Absolutely. Prime Minister Davis and the Davis government are addressing these issues head on with long-term solutions. Solar energy is coming to the Bahamas. Rates will decrease for the most vulnerable and increase for the biggest consumers. Rates will decrease for the most vulnerable and increase for the biggest consumers. Read more about these transformative changes here at opm.gov.bs/new energy era.
I'm intrigued about the solar energy is coming to the Bahamas. What does that mean? But we got to wait.
Well, so the press conference has already taken place. When I get off today, at some point in the evening, I'm going to plug in and listen to it and prepare notes.
Do you think they mean just solar panels? They're going to allow solar panels on people's houses? Is that there?
No, I think
that... It's got to be something bigger than that, eh?
Yeah, because I don't think that BPL can become stable or maintain stability if a large sector of Bahamians who could afford to solarize their own houses come off the grid.
So if like big hotels say, man, let me come off the grid and solarize, they will, for lack of a better word, hurt the company itself.
I think so. I think that BPL is dependent on the income generated, right, from this traditional fuel energy generation. They're dependent on it. So the government is going to facilitate BPL transitioning a percentage of their generation to solar. And we will be buying energy generated from solar power by BPL and its affiliates or subsidiaries or whoever these companies are going to be.
That's a lot of battery.
Yeah.
Because, you know, solar is like a 12-hour thing. You get charged, and the next 12 hours, it has to be...
Right. So when there's no sun out, you're going to have to rely on battery power that you generated and stored during the day.
Which lasts for another 12 hours. And then you get started over again.
You have to build up your system to have sufficient capacity.
A lot of batteries.
To last a minimum of 12 hours. Because what if it's overcast for 4 days? Mm. Right? And we had that recently at the end of last year. Overcast for about 4 days straight. How do we then transition through that? I see your text. I come into that in a moment. I have to make this note. My power went off Sunday morning. I can't remember exactly what time. I think when I woke up, it was off. And it came back on. We went out. We figured use this time to run some errands. Came back. Power was back on. I wake up this morning to find out that some of my neighbors on the like the lower part of the community I'm in, they were without power until this morning. So I think they experienced the same power outage we did, same power outage. Their power didn't come back on until this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I hope that the government and its actors remember that when they are speaking about this nationwide comprehensive energy reform happening in the Bahamas, and this little note here at the end of this statement, this is a game-changing breakthrough for our economy and country. I just want to remind the Davis administration that you cannot govern by PR.
No?
PR in and of itself is not going to fix the problems. And let me show you
this
something.
This administration have a lot of PR.
At this point, the prettier, the savvier, the more professional the PR, the worse the actual situation is on the ground. Mm. The better the PR is, the worse the situation is on the ground.
But definitely need to have something done with our electricity. And we have an ongoing problem.
Yeah, no, everybody understands that. In fact, for 30 years, we've understood that. My problem is this. I don't think that we are going to fix this problem if government actors are allowed to operate the way that they do. There's too much politics involved. It is the politics that has mashed us up. It's the politics that leaves us here not knowing who the person is, that turned on the generator in 2018 without authorization, without going through the proper procedure to ensure that the generator is worthy, right? Is operationable. They won't tell us that,
mm-hmm.
right? We know about Alstom. We know that Fred Ramsey, who sat on the chair as a chair of the board, was found guilty, right, of a crime. We know that he didn't go to jail. We know that he didn't name the other people that were complicit because he alone could not make the decision to purchase the generator.
It had to be a political decision.
Right? The politics just keeps getting in the way and mashing everything up. In today's paper in the Tribune story, BPL grid bidders seek $30 million in Bahamian equity. In The Guardian, government to unveil plan for BPL. Producer, check the phone line for me. If they talk in BPL, we take the call right now. Okay, no problem. Good morning, caller.
Godly day to the staff, you know, so long with you, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen.
The reason why I call, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out from you, what do you call a lower part of
the community I live in?
Right.
I didn't want to call the name of the community I live in. That's why I said it like that.
But what you mean by lower part?
Well, because I in the north and they in the south.
Oh, so in other words, the ones that are in the south, they are poorer.
I didn't say that, Bremen.
You didn't say, but then that's the reason why I called you to ask you for what reason you made that statement.
Like why I said it that way?
Right.
I said it that way, Bremen, for a reason, and you pick up on the reason.
Factually,
listen, factually, that...
And I'll ask you, and you won't come for me then?
Listen, factually, those people live south of me. The other part, we just put that in the air.
Who are those people?
Those...
Poor people?
I, too, am a poor person, Bremen, so I can't use that.
But they are poorer.
Perhaps. Maybe not. I don't think so, actually.
For you saying it, give me the reason. So I would understand.
It's called political satire. I tried to say two things at once, Bremen. I tried to indicate something factual, which is that they are lower than me geographically.
You're
and at
very
the same time,
diplomatic.
Imply and allow the listener to infer from what I'm saying that perhaps there is a socioeconomic dynamic at play.
But Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You know, this the Bahamas, this us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going to be so too diplomatic with us, some of us going to miss it, and some of us understand what you're saying, but they're not going to like it because it's not justice to all.
But you understood it, Bremen. because rich people aren't the only people who
Thank
have intellect.
You, Aaron.
Thank you. Like, let us also not presume that rich people are the only people who have intellect, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bremen, you got it. So other people would get it, too. Good morning, caller. We're talking BPL in this moment. How you doing?
Yeah, I want to say something about BPL, but when you say the lower part,
uh-huh.
Like how Bremen pick it up,
uh-huh.
I think she means she up on a hill, like.
That too.
Yeah, I think
that too.
Okay, me and Bremen, right. Okay. BPL, you ain't getting nothing in the papers. The Guardian ain't saying nothing, but the union leader saying.
Oh, no, I hadn't seen a statement from the union leader yet, but I was going to read into the article. There are two articles. I want to read a little bit from both of them.
Let me hang up until you read it then.
All right. Give me 1 second. Producer, let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. We're talking energy.
Yes, sir, we are talking energy.
Well, let's try this.
Yes.
You both would agree. Oh, good morning, Mr. Noori, my
good morning
Prime
to
Minister.
You. Hey.
Let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
You would agree that there is no straight line, not one straight wire or wires, running from BPL power station to my home. You would agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
Okay. So obviously, the electricity does not travel through the wire. The energy actually travels through electromagnetism outside the wire. Do you disagree or agree with that?
I wait to be educated.
Okay, I understand. All uh-huh. right. See, what I'm trying to wrap my head around is there anybody talking about the losses that BPL incurs in getting the energy, because it's the energy that you use, not the electricity. You don't use electricity. The energy to you when it's coming through these wires sometimes when the wires are damp first thing in the morning, on the 33K line, you could hear it buzzing. Have you ever heard it?
Oh, yes. I spent about the first half of my life listening to the transformer outside my house buzz.
So we are really having a great loss in energy. So does your government considering upgrading the transmission and distribution system so that we could cut down on some losses? Because I would like to know what percentage of losses occur in getting 120 volts or 220 to my home.
Right. And is BPL required by law to conduct regular or periodic reviews in the same way that water and sewage should be doing?
Yeah, because, you know, when you really think about it, if it costs them more to get it to me, for some strange reason, we are going in a circle. And someone is just making some money and we're spinning, because where's the profit?
There you go. Thank
anyway,
you very much, Colin.
But just remember, there's no straight line from BPL to my house or to your house, because there are transformers in between and there is electromagnetism involved.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm going to read from this Tribune article, caller. BPL grid bidder seeks $30 million Bahamian equity. The company said to be charged with overhauling BPL's electricity grid is seeking to raise $30 million in equity from local investors, it has emerged. Multiple Bahamian capital markets sources speaking on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly told Tribune Business that Island Grid is seeking to raise a funding mix split into $30 million of equity financing and around $100 million of preference shares or some other form of debt to help finance the transformation of BPL's transmission and distribution network. That's the T and D. The full story continues in Tribune Business. Good morning, Carla.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning to you.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you.
Aaron, listen, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it's part of the 90s it was, when we learned that BPL had an unspoken rule for MPs
BEC
to not pay their bills.
BEC, BPL didn't exist
BC,
back then.
BEC, now BPL, bill rollover.
No, BPL and BEC are not the same thing.
They're not?
No.
One is a management company and one is an energy company.
Okay, so BEC then.
Yes.
How are we to know that those bills, if ever, has been paid and is today still being paid by now persons who... I feel like if BPL do a
review,
go over there and try to get its monies from persons owing. I talk about the small markets. They tend to come after us who owe them $200 or $300. They let the others get away as if the monies can't be recovered.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know if they can go into find a way to recover that funds. How close would we get to at least cutting the bill in a quarter?
The closest you will get is C-1622 Avenue and Frank Watson Boulevard, my friend. That's it. That's as close as we're going to get.
Ain't far enough.
We cannot even get them to gazette public disclosures. We cannot get them to gazette public disclosures. Those with the proximity to the political class and who have the agency and the power, the potential to shift this stagnant political culture, refuse to do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it.
Because the way I see it, the these huge bills that are old, we had one name pop up years ago that was a popular person that we knew owed BEC so much money. And I know there's far much more that we've never heard of. And my question is also, when persons go on solar,
mm-hmm.
that's also taking away from the funds that BEC will be collecting, which means now we who are still on the grid will have to cover that portion of the bill. That's why our bill keep going up. The solar is good, mind you. It's not bad. However,
it's how we transition
to start collecting these monies, man, because it's getting too tense, man.
Thank you, caller. Absolutely. They tell me they need $1 billion. But another point, you talked about politicians who may or may not have unpaid bills. We have had a clear conversation about the internal workings of initial foreign direct investment projects, right? And that it appears as if the government or BEC is left holding the bag when a development stalls, right? When a foreign direct investor's development stalls. And so what we need is legislation detailing clearly, with no ambiguity, how developers are supposed to contribute to the electricity, the bill that they generate for their development project. Further to that, these large-scale developers must be made to contribute to the expansion of the existing grid to accommodate their project. Whatever these inner workings and negotiations and little chitter-chatter and things that y'all think y'all could keep private from the Bahamian people, that stuff has to go away. But the only way we could get rid of it is through clear and non-ambiguous legislation that lays out how this is supposed to be treated. I'm going to take these two callers, and then I'm transitioning to another story. Good morning, caller.
It's great.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, as it relates to BPL and electrical generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman he had called had spoken about the wires. You know, so, you know, in electrical, it's obviously voltage drop from source, from the power source to the load, right? You have voltage drop the distance from the generation.
Right.
But also lose energy because of the heat. So this is why you see the overhead wires don't have insulation on them, because they can generate more. But then buildings would have parallel circuits in order to increase ampacity but keep voltage the same. And the series would be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be real with the people, all of the big figures about the 160 megawatts generation, if anyone who has a generator at home, you know, I have a small one, and so you would look and see that basically it's the same thing as a circuit breaker. You can only supply 80% of the generation. So I'll just take away 20% from whatever megawatts they give you in mm-hmm. reality. Because a generator, it can output this, but it's only 80% that's actually on the load. So it's the same thing with a circuit breaker. You will see they tell you do not put more than 80% of the ampacity on the circuit breaker. Hence, it will trip. So I just thought I would just share that, because it's really a fast going on here. And you're losing energy because of the resistance and the inefficiency of the resistance in the wire, because of the breakdown in the wire system. It's all heat. Heat causes damage, and so you build up resistance, and after a while, it's not enough. Just losing energy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller again. After this caller, I'm going to transition stories. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Dwarf.
Morning, sir.
You know, common sense could tell us that it's cheaper for the government to do whatever is necessary for BPL rather than outsourcing it to private individuals, because when private people do whatever they do, they got to borrow, and it's cheaper for the government to borrow. It's just cheaper for the government, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And all the private individuals do is they borrow, and then prices go up to consumers,
mm-hmm.
you see. And where are the economists in this country? Where are their voices? You see, to educate the Bahamian people,
mm-hmm.
you know, on this fact. You see, you hear this the story you mentioned, talk about prices going up for
large
for
scale,
people, right? And down for the poor. How is it going down for the poor?
Man,
you know, through some social program, the taxpayers got to pay their bills.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we gotta, you know, and the problem I have is the F and them, they have no solution. They're not critical, because the only thing they're concerned about is transparency and the business.
I mean, they
you know,
only thing they're concerned.
Nobody against this here, but what's his name? C. Allen. This privatization, they playing linguistic gymnastics with privatization. It's privatization. That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. Simple and plain.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Producer, let's just take this last caller, and then we're going to transition. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, the previous caller touched on something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You notice that the individual who is coming to do the management and the other bills and stuff, right? What is the first thing they're doing? They're borrowing.
Yes.
Now, what is expected from them? They're expecting a profit from those shareholders. The question then is that, you know, you say you're seeking to reduce the bill. So where, how do they justify profits to their people that they're borrowing from or giving them money to invest unless it's coming directly from the people? And so, again, even if you look at the website that the government has just released, it's a marketing tool. It has no substantive information. We are a country in crisis. We look at China. We look at Taiwan. We look at Japan. We look at Singapore, all these other places. You hear people on social media say they're living in the future. But if you and Nui were to catch a flight there, you'll reach there in the present. We're in the past. 96% of it is energy for the present. So the problem is, where's the strategy to rebuild a grid that is past its end of life? Where's the strategy for energy reduction before you substitute generation? Whether it be appliances, whether it be solar on the roof, whether it be insulation, ceiling fans, new windows, new doors, these type of things. Where is the strategy for microgrids in the purest sense, where individuals can tie in and generate, that has a 21st century strategy? The problem is this, and let me say this. We have to pay for this no matter what, right? It's a national debt, but there's nothing wrong with debt when it brings growth.
Absolutely.
And so the problem is, until we find out what the actual problem is, can we totally identify the problem? We cannot fix it. An ending. You cannot manage what you cannot measure. No one has been able to measure it yet, BPL. And you cannot measure what you refuse to acknowledge.
Thank you. Thank you, C. Allen. Producer, I come in right now. I just want to sum this up, and then we go into a break. I had to do it because I couldn't break myself. A couple of things here. C. Allen said, debt isn't the problem. It's debt without growth that's the problem. Why are you borrowing the money if we're not actually growing, expanding, or enhancing anything? Next point, energy, electricity supply in an archipelagic exterior can never be a profit-driven exercise. I think we need to start right at the beginning. Dear Davis administration, you are governing an archipelago. You're not governing one island with outposts scattered on the coasts of that one island. You are governing an archipelagic exterior-based jurisdiction. Energy and electricity generation and supply is not supposed to be a profit-driven mechanism. It is your own incompetence and dysfunction as successive governments that has led us to this place. Another point, why are board members, administration, and consultants in BEC and BPL and the Ministry of Energy making so much money if BPL is in the state that it is today and y'all are still attempting to generate electricity and governed by PR? And the last point I want to make before I transition to the next subject is this. If you ever wonder why I keep telling you to meet me at CI 1622 and Frank Watson Boulevard when we're talking about energy, it's because Hubert Ingram and Frank Watson are the only people who have the answers. They got the answers to the questions we all asking. So meet me at CI 1622 and Frank Watson Boulevard. We go into a break. When we come back from the break, we are transitioning. Why did Pintard get removed, or why did they attempt to remove Pintard from the house before the holiday weekend? Y'all thought y'all was going to put Pintard in jail on a Thursday so he couldn't come out on a Monday or a Tuesday like y'all do poor young black men them? That's what y'all was going to do to Pintard? Anyway, we're going to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Stay informed with the Nassau Guardian, your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The Nassau Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The Nassau Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Sign up now for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race.
Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Taking place Monday, July 15th to Sunday, July 21st.
At the Hope Center and the Candlelight Exchange.
We are shooting hoops instead of guns.
Phone 601-4842.
Or visit our Facebook page.
Sign up today for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race Basketball Classic.
Peace on the Streets 2024 is coming.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. We're back. I'm going to read these texts. Morning, Lady Green and guests. Those outstanding bills by higher Bahamians at BCBPL are normally withdrawn after several years, thus causing higher rates on the average Bahamian. Wow, what a bad situation. Well, we need some clarity as to how they are treated. Good morning, Aaron. I suggest when you start having the BPL conversation, you invite the professionals on, as I hear a lot of erroneous information being thrown around the show. I would also like to have the BPL professionals on, but they are hesitant to come to the airwaves. Perhaps you guys have not noticed, but ever since Fred Mitchell released that infamous voice note with the remix on it, you gotta know when to hold them. Remember that? It became pellucidly clear that technocrats and state actors have no interest in speaking in the public domain. I'm gonna say it like that versus suggesting or allowing anyone to infer from my words that there may be directives issued that prevent these people from speaking. I'm going to be honest with you, Texter. I appreciate the critique and I accept it as constructive criticism. You and I should also meet at CI 1622 and Frank Watson Boulevard so that we could wade through the mire, the quagmire, the mess that is BPL, and what I believe is an intentional act to keep the waters as muddy as possible, to prevent people from connecting the dots in a way that enables them to act legally. The economists are shareholders and board members. They work on government interests only and not the Bahamian people. Why? Aaron, can you please bring someone from the central bank and an independent legal expert to urgently discuss this new client agreement that RBC is forcing its customers to sign to use online banking? The agreement is extremely long, so I don't have all the specifics, but two things stood out. It forces the user to agree that anyone using the platform with the user's details would be considered same as the user, even if it is a fraudulent transaction. That is what you have gleaned from your reading of the terms and agreement. It sounds like the bank is trying to abdicate its responsibility to provide platform security. The agreement also forces the customer to agree that their payment history can be shared with the government or regulators. One might suspect they mean for credit rating info, but there's nothing in the language that limits information sharing to that. They also say they can get further information from bank registrants. Does that mean the government can call the pharmacy to find out the details of my purchase? What if I was purchasing genital itch cream? Can you please have someone look at this agreement for legality? Texter, you know, it was something I was thinking about earlier. Like, we have 2,000 plus lawyers in this country easily and so little jurisprudence. We have 2,000 plus lawyers in this country, but so little work challenging laws that are inherently open to challenge. When you read the laws, if you do any legal studying, when a law is passed, it says that this law is deemed to be in line with the Constitution until shown that it is not in line with the Constitution. We need to enable or initialize a NGO legal service that every law that is passed is assessed for its constitutionality, whether it is good law or bad law. Another text here says, but there are directives. The text is saying that the AG told the PS not to speak. Now, when you say the AG, the first thing I think is AG really does deal with a lot of things that are confidential. Things that even I would agree should be confidential. Even I would agree. Another text, my power was off for 12 hours on Saturday evening. Marathon Road, 12 hours? Great show as usual. If you... Thank you for that medical advice. If you got genital itch, go to the beach. A text that says, speak to the PAC. Oh, the directive to not speak to the PAC. Those were a lot of interesting texts just now. Let's transition to the next story. Speaker orders Pintard's removal from House. This was on Thursday, 7th of June, 24. That was Friday, Labor Day. House Speaker Patricia DeVoe ordered the removal of opposition leader Michael Pintard from the House of Assembly yesterday afternoon for, quote, obstructing the business of the House. However, when police attempted to remove him, Pintard locked arms with other members of the opposition. The drama unfolded after Pintard, who, after rising on a point of order, claimed that statements made by West End and Bimini MP Kingsley Smith that the previous administration did very little for Grand Bahama was not true. He proceeded to list some of the things the Free National Movement did before the speaker interrupted him. DeVoe asked him to cut his point of order short, as he would have time to expound on his points during his contribution to the budget debate. However, Pintard insisted that he was entitled to make his point of order and suggested the speaker was not being fair. Following an exchange between the two, the speaker ordered Pintard's removal. House proceedings were then briefly suspended. When the House resumed, Pintard was absent. Quote, I will not tolerate the behavior that has been exhibited in this place anymore, close quotes, DeVoe said. Quote, I've had members say the vilest of things to me. I may be new to this, but I'm true to this, and I understand my job. We can say that what we want out there, but when it comes in here, respect is the order of the day. This is not a campaign field. This is where we came to conduct the business of the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Stick a pin. No, they cannot say these things outside of the House. Speaker, you're supposed to admonish them to not be behaving that way at all, in any capacity, in any space. Don't send them out the House and tell them they could speak to us like that. They can't speak to you like that, but they could speak to us like that. Also, we will no longer tolerate the behavior that has been exhibited in that place either. We the people. And no, this is not a campaign field, but dear Speaker, are you endorsing this type of behavior on the campaign field? Is that what you're suggesting? That this type of engagement, like when you said, quote, I've had members say the vilest of things to me, dot, dot, dot. And then you go on to say this is not a campaign field. Are you saying that it's okay to say the vilest of things to people on the campaign field? Is that what's happening here? I just want to say this and I want to make this note. I wasn't going to leave either. I just saying, I don't think I was going to leave either.
You get put out.
Now, my problem is I don't know if anybody would come and lock arms with me. I probably would get put out. I probably would get picked up and put out. I don't know if anybody would come lock arms with me.
Once you know you're getting put out.
Let's go to the call, and then I want to continue with some articles. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Ordinary.
Blessings to you.
I want you to help me out a minute, please. I want to switch just a little. There's a sidetrack.
Mm-hmm.
I was by an eatery on Saturday.
Yes.
There was a known police in his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Came in to order some food. It wasn't no big. Maybe it's a little lunch for him.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was like two, a person between me and him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have challenges with my sight, so I don't really know. But I could have heard the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Then he checked his wallet. Now, this is the police in uniform, they told me.
Mm-hmm.
Then he checked his wallet. He must have left his money home or whatever. Do you know that eatery place? I'm so tempted to call their name. Didn't allow that officer in his uniform to take that food. And this is a fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, no, I'll pay for it, man. I'll pay for it.
That's
it bothered me.
But let's talk about it. That's decent of you.
Yes, thank you.
Because we... Hold on, pause.
I think somebody else up there heard it, they would do the same thing.
Right.
That's why I'm looking at it.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying the police in his uniform.
But listen, caller, give me a second, please.
Yes, sir.
Let me continue. It was decent of you to do that, understanding that the staff are not authorized to do that.
But
No.
The man comes and give me some food.
Sir, pause. Seriously.
Seriously
speaking, they have cameras, right? They have cameras. Yeah. So the first thing that's going to happen is a manager is going to look at the camera and see that the person received no cash, no form of payment, and gave out the food, right? Then the staff have to rely on not just the integrity of the officer to come back, but they have to rely on the officer remembering. Now, and I make that separate from the integrity because it's two separate things. He may get a call while he's in the car eating and forget to come back. But the staff members will be made liable for the money lost if
you know
he does not come
my,
back.
You know
and
why it got my attention? I was traveling to Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and I heard they calling all of them, the U.S. Marine people loaning the plane first. All of this, like they really respect their people, man. Like they really respect their...
You think the Royal...
Something like that for our defense force officers and our police officers.
Hold on, pause.
You know?
Pause.
Yeah.
In the U.S., it's military, right?
Yeah.
So that's Royal Bahamas Defense Force. It's not police. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're doing basically the same job that they're doing.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
But they're protecting us. The police and the defense force, prison officers, they protect us. I said, man, I must bring this up on a talk show because...
But this is what I'm saying. It's decent of you to do it, understanding that the staff cannot do it. See? That's all. I think what you did was great. It would require a corporation creating a policy, right?
Yeah.
The policy says, look, if an officer comes in, they forget their money, you can give them their food and they could come back for it. They could come back and pay within a certain time period. Yeah. But I can show you what the problem is here. The problem is that we are now forced to judge every officer based on the behavior of the few. Those who park the car. You ever see police officer park car on sidewalk by school to go get food?
Man.
You ever see police officer drive by cars parked on the pedestrian crossing and people having to venture out into the road just to get around it? And the police say nothing. You ever see the police officers
turn out of another fast eatery to get food? Now, I don't know, they had a timing for this food for this person who was locked up and they had to get this food.
I can tell you what. I got to go.
I've seen it happen.
Listen, I gotta go, but there is a wonderful eatery in the South, in Golden Gates area, that's run by police officers. I think. But anyway, during the pandemic, this was the go-to for essential workers.
Okay.
They take care of the police. You see what I'm saying? The police officers, that community came together and said, you know what? our guys live differently, they work differently, and they ensure that these guys could eat whenever they need to eat.
Like everywhere you go, you get some bad talk show hosts, you get some bad policemen, you get some bad politicians,
yeah.
Some bad people everywhere you go.
I know.
But let us try not judge all with one court, man. Let's try. I won't try do a drive. Let's try do our beliefs. Because one minute they put on a uniform, they're in a line of duty for us, man. You know, let's try.
Yeah.
Show them some appreciation.
I for that, and I'm also going to declare my bias. See, I have a bias. I have a personal bias. The police are not enforcing traffic controls. The police are not enforcing traffic controls. There are not sufficient traffic officers assigned to the traffic department to provide traffic enforcement on a daily basis, consistently and sustainably in New Providence. It's come to my attention, over the last 20 to 30 years, I've observed what many others have observed, and the police are obviously in protest mode. They're in protest mode. They don't enforce traffic controls, and at this point, at least 50% of them are not following these same controls themselves. Text, Aaron, it doesn't matter if we have bunker sea fuel. I'm coming to you right now, caller, or solar energy, or nuclear energy, or wind turbine energy. It won't make a difference in our Bahamas because of the politics and corruption involved and the people who benefit from the corruption in politics. The Bahamian people will continue to suffer. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Yes, I'm here, Ms. Green. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes. It's evident, Ms. Green, that last caller was listening only to respond to you, but not listening to understand what you were saying. With the cameras and the policies of the company. Now, that person who was serving the police officer can easily be reprimanded by giving that officer service without cash.
Mm-hmm.
That server will not be reprimanded by not giving that officer service without cash. You see,
mm-hmm.
So it's evident that last call was listening only to respond, but not to understand what you were saying.
Absolutely, and
you see,
I wanted the caller to know that I appreciate the broader point, but I think that was an important point to make that we cannot vilify or criminalize the staff because they're following company policy.
That's right. So you made a realistic point, and that is truly understood. So, I mean, regardless to whether that server refused that officer service without cash,
mm-hmm.
if she or he refused the officer service without cash, she or he could not have been reprimanded. But uniform or not, he could have been reprimanded if she didn't receive cash and still gave that officer service.
Right. You know,
because that's not her place, and that's not her merchandise or whatever, her food.
Yes.
She has to receive cash for service.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, Ms. Green, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, do you realize that the police officers are paramilitary? You know what the meaning of paramilitary?
Tell me what the meaning is. Because, I mean, I know it's not full military.
The function as military before the defense force was sanctioned as military.
Right, but paramilitary means they're not complete military.
The government's going to take the policemen and send them other places because of the paramilitary part of it. That's why the commission is provost marshal.
It's cool, okay.
The defense force should be now. It's because the paramilitary, the police force still holds them same position. Just do research and find out what the meaning of paramilitary so you understand it much better.
Yeah, okay, but how does that impact the point that we're making?
No, when the officer said that how the airlines bought the military first, you're saying yes because of the military. But I just want you to understand what the meaning of paramilitary when you say that.
Tell me what because, the... But I asked you to tell
no,
me...
I can't give you verbatim, but I know the same powers that the defense force has, exception of the full military, the police force has.
Right, so an exception of the full military, so they're not full military, right?
No, it's not police force. That's for military.
Okay, good
I agree
stuff.
With that. I'm saying to you, but the paramilitary is what we was before when we acted as military.
Okay.
So it was never sanctioned military.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, caller. I went to Google. A paramilitary group is organized like an army, but is not official and not and often not legal, connected with and helping the official armed forces. In some countries, police and firefighters have paramilitary training. That's extra training. I'm just saying, right, in the U.S., that's a federal thing. I'm not sure they give the same deference and preference to ordinary police officers, or if it's at the discretion of the airline, or if it's at the discretion of the staff that's on at the time. But I do know police officers cannot expect the same treatment that military in the U.S. can expect. In fact, I was traveling with a camouflage backpack one time, and they were all ready to give me preferential treatment. I had to explain to them, not only am I not military, I'm not even a citizen of the U.S., and they thanked me for being honest. And then we continued about our business. It is 10:59. In my opinion, the speaker is very biased when it comes to the opposition. Okay, Texter. She allows the government side to run on and on with unnecessary points of view, but always want muffled the opposition. Unlike the first female speaker who endured much ridicule, was disrespected, abused, and endured all manner of ill will by the late Bradley Roberts, yet she presided over the parliament with finesse, decorum, and impartiality, something that is sadly lacking by the speaker. The loud talking, head shaking, and obvious angry body language has no place for someone holding such a high and prestigious office. Dear Texter, it's a very heavy critique, right? And it's a bit of respectability politics here. My question would be, does the head shaking, obvious angry body language work to control parliament? If it works, then it works. If it doesn't work, then we say, hey, what is the purpose of all of this? And it's not even effective. I appreciate the critique, Texter. I think there's a bit of respectability politics caught up in that. We're at the end of the hour. I don't know what Mr. Newry has on deck, but I have a lot of texts here. Texas, I could beg Mr. Newry to let me read some of them in his hour. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. I didn't get to the statement from the Progressive Liberal Party June 8th or the statement from the Progressive Liberal Party June 2nd. I am stunned, though, by both press statements. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green, Guardian Radio AM, with CA... Blank Ground Newry is coming up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.